This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, as we churn and burn through the week, and it's going to be a magnificent night on the Jesse Kelly Show. First, we are going to address the January 6th pipe bomber who was finally apprehended. We'll play a couple things for you here in a couple minutes, talk a little bit about the why. There are a couple things I want to knock out. I'm gonna try to get to a bunch of emails tonight because I'm way behind. I've been negligent. It's who I am. But we do have to discuss a couple things. The lid is being blown off of the Somali fraud in Minnesota, and this story is getting deeper and deeper. I'm not so sure we're not going to see a politician go to prison. We'll talk about that at some point in time. More politicians clearly being politicians because they want access to the things rich people have. We have a police chief problem. Some guy swallowed a Fabergé egg whole. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before I forget, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, of course. So I need your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours belong to you on Friday, as always. Whatever's on your mind doesn't even have to be political. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's rewind, and I wouldn't think that I had to recap this, but I had a conversation with Aub this morning that leads me to believe I have to recap this. In fact, the conversation I had with Aub this morning brought home to me what a gigantic political nerd I am, and maybe you are. Because I'm home with Aub, having a cup of coffee, we're messing around. Fred is, of course, there all over everybody. And I get word that they're about to have a press conference and announce the apprehension of the January 6th pipe bomber. And so I'm looking at my phones, and they're looking at my phone, trying to get caught up on the news. And she asks what I'm looking at, and I tell her, and she said, "What pipe bomber?" Now, she's a pretty informed person. You know, she watches the news every now and then. She certainly is not one of these completely out-of-touch people, but it really brought home to me what a nerd I am. I looked at her, almost my head cocked to the side, and said, "What pipe bomber? Are you serious?" But that's probably the norm. It's probably the norm in this country. So a quick, hopefully 30-second backstory for you. I have the hiccups. Sorry, you're going to have to deal with that. On January 6th, the January 6th thing that the Democrats claimed was an insurrection, which it wasn't. It was just a little protest that got a little spicy. Almost undoubtedly a government op, by the way, but we'll set that aside for now. There was an extra element to the story that added fuel to the Democrat fire, and that's going to be important for who this guy turned out to be. You see, Democrats, whether they did January 6th on purpose, meaning they caused it with FBI agents and antagonists in the crowd, or whether they did it on purpose or not, Democrats loved it. It was a huge moment for them. Why did they love it? Because Democrats are communists, and communists believe in arresting and killing their political opposition. They believe in using the powers of the state to do so. They always have. They always will. They believe in arresting and killing their political opponents. January 6th, you know, all that bad footage, January 6th gave them the opportunity to do exactly that. But it needed some extra spice. I mean, the video was bad and people were getting roughed up and whatnot, but it needed something else to give it some juice. So they found that something else. Bombs. Pipe bombs. Doesn't the second you say the word bomb, it elevates every other story, right? Every story. Well, there's a bomb? Oh my gosh, a bomb. It doesn't even have to have blown up. A bomb becomes a big deal. Mafia wars in this country have historically gone very, very bad for the mob in places like Cleveland and Philadelphia. When they start using bombs, the public's more acceptable that some gangster gets shot in the back of the head. They kind of just accept that as being how it is. But you blow up one Cadillac in the street, and now the public is more interested and the FBI is coming for you. Bombs. And we had a bomber on January 6th. But it was very odd, you see. Washington, D.C., I don't know if you've ever been. I've always encouraged you to go with your family to take in the history there, the monuments and museums. But set that aside, I have been in D.C. I worked there for a year. I lived there for 1 year. You cannot miss all the cameras. It's wild when you get to Capitol Hill, anywhere around Capitol Hill, you know, where the Capitol building is and the congressional offices, there are cameras every freaking where. And it's not, these are just the ones you can see. They are on every street corner, on every building. You are on camera when you are there. So we had January 6th and we had this pipe bomber who left pipe bombs at the RNC headquarters and DNC headquarters. Huh. Why couldn't they find him? This is not like he low crawled through the high grass in some rural area without electricity and left a pipe bomb and then scurried away. This guy, yeah, he was wearing a mask, of course, and a hood, but strolled right up on camera and left a pipe bomb at the RNC and DNC. And let me go ahead and clue you in on something. Something I'm sure you already know, but it's very true, and it's something you should probably be aware of for the future when the government finally starts to come after all of us. There's a great line from a TV show I was watching one time where the guy says, "That phone you have, it's not a phone. It's a tracking device that makes phone calls." Your cell phone can be tracked at all times. You can be listened to through your cell phone. Did you know that? You can be listened to through your cell phone. Did you know that it's not just that they can track where your phone is now, you see, because your phone is constantly communicating with cell phone towers wherever you have cell phone service. They actually know where you've been if they choose to dig into it. Did you know that? Did you know it's a huge tool law enforcement uses to track people down? Because when they commit crimes, robbing a bank, whatever they happen to be doing, everybody, because this is the society we live in, everybody seems to carry their phone with them. Remember this little story? This was on Tucker Carlson's show back in the day on Fox News. I've played it for you before. It's long, keep in mind, but I want you to listen to this because it's going to matter for this pipe bomber story. Remember this?
We know that Google is tracking us. We agree to it when we set up our phones. So we wanted to figure out what exactly Google is learning about us throughout the day. So here's what we're going to do. We have two identical phones. The only difference between these two phones is this one is in airplane mode. Both of the phones lack a SIM card, and they haven't been set up to access any Wi-Fi networks. So for all intents and purposes, these phones have no connection to a data network. We're going to keep them with us throughout the day. And while I travel around D.C., we're going to figure out just what Google is finding out about me.
To run our test, we had to do more than walk the block. So we took a tour around our nation's capital. First, due north to the Children's National Medical Center Hospital, then west to St. Albans School and the National Cathedral. Our tour around town was a 14-mile journey that lasted more than an hour. The entire time, the phones had no access to the internet, not a Wi-Fi connection, and not any cellular data service. Google's business model is simple. Collect data on its users and then use that data to sell targeted ads. It's a business model called surveillance capitalism. But does that critical data collection work even when your phones aren't connected?
So we're back here at our Fox Bureau in D.C., and we've got both of our phones exactly how we left with them. So let's find out what they know. This is our man-in-the-middle device. It's basically a Wi-Fi network that these phones are going to connect to once we turn their Wi-Fi on. It's going to pass data through it on the way to Google. But on the way, we're actually going to get a copy of the same data that Google's going to get. We'll be able to decrypt it and then find out where we've been throughout the day.
Within minutes, the numbers rolled in. The phone that wasn't on airplane mode registered more than 100 locations, 130 activities, and even 152 barometric readings. As soon as it hooked up to our Wi-Fi, it transmitted 300 kilobytes of data straight to Google. The phone even logged our exact locations, tracking us all around town, the Capitol, the hospital, the school, and the cathedral. The metadata has a time log down to the very second, tracking everything when they think that you're walking, riding, and yes, even getting out of the car. The phone with airplane mode activated actually logged more locations and activities than the other phone, and it also transferred hundreds of kilobytes of data to Google as soon as it was activated. Through complicated user agreements and free software, Google gets users to sign away their privacy for nothing. Every move you make, every step you take, Google is watching you.
Did you know the January 6th pipe bomber had his phone on him? What took so long? We'll talk about that next.
Jesse Kelly. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. So back to this January 6th pipe bomber, and I promise I am going to get to the press conference and let Pam Bondi have her say and Dan Bongino have his say. So, I already told you that there's cameras everywhere, and as we just explained, cell phones know all. Not just where you are, where you've been, whether you were walking, driving. They know everything you've done. This information is available. So, if you have some guy laying pipe bombs at the RNC and DNC, and this guy happens to be dumb enough to have his cell phone in his pocket while he's laying the pipe bombs, well, that's kind of a open and shut case. We even had reporters in the Biden or under the Biden administration. We had reporters tracking down the info, tracking down the cell phone tower info, right? But they ran into roadblocks every time they were tracking down this exact info. Oh, the information is muddled. Sorry. Too bad, so sad. Leave a voicemail. This one guy almost seemed protected. A level of protection not available to you, not available to me. In order to be protected like that, it almost requires government protection. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Now, let's hear from Attorney General Pam Bondi today. I'll let it play.
The total lack of movement on this case in our nation's capital undermined the public trust of our enforcement agencies. This cold case languished for 4 years until Director Patel and Deputy Director Bongino came to the FBI. The FBI, along with U.S. Attorney Pierro and all of our prosecutors, have worked tirelessly for months sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI with the Biden administration for 4 long years. Let me be clear, there was no new tip, there was no new witness. Just good, diligent police work and prosecutorial work.
Huh. No new tip. No new witness. So, the previous FBI had all this information? Deputy Director Dan Bongino got up, talked about it.
The director and the attorney general emphasized that it was not a new public tip this came from. This was our internal work at the FBI. And I want to just really express my sincere gratitude to this attorney general and this president for allowing us the latitude. I spoke with Ms. Bondi very early, when we maybe day two, And I said, we're going to get this guy. And she said, yes, you are. And we did.
No new tip. No new witnesses. Just looking at the evidence they already had. Now, that's great, by the way. Congratulations to Dan Bongino. Really happy for him. As you know, he's a friend. I know everyone gets mad at the FBI. Look, I hate the FBI. I want the whole organization disbanded, but that doesn't change my opinion of Dan Bongino. But that aside, congrats to Dan. I'm curious, why didn't the last administration track down this guy? And look, we don't have to play these games. I want to move on. You know why they didn't. I know why they didn't. This guy was a dirty communist. He wasn't some MAGA Trump supporter. He's a dirty communist. The Biden administration almost undoubtedly knew who he was. So why wouldn't they go out and arrest this pipe bomber? The guy's a pipe bomber. He's a freaking terrorist. Why wouldn't you go out and arrest him and announce it? Because arresting a dirty communist for activities around January 6th would have destroyed the communist narrative they were using to justify throwing over 1,000 mostly completely innocent people in prison. It would have violated the narrative they were currently building. And so the Biden administration was so freaking evil, they buried all this stuff to avoid having to arrest a communist. Because they wanted to do what communists have done since the dirty Soviets started the whole thing. They wanted to send the apparatus of the state. They wanted to send the guns and badges, the secret police of the state, after their political opponents. And they did. And they destroyed lives. And people got sent to prison. And people killed themselves. And it was just the worst, most evil freaking thing ever. And I'm sure there are January 6ers listening right now who've been through hell. And again, I will say, I am sorry for what the evil state apparatus did to you. The Biden administration clearly knew who this guy was, and they didn't hunt him down because it would have blew up the whole narrative they built. I remain convinced, as I always have, January 6th was a government operation. A government operation designed to give the government the justification it needed to do what it always wanted, arrest right-wingers. We'll move on now. I don't want to get myself mad. In fact, I'm going to do some emails. I want to talk to you about rough greens. Have you ever woken up in the morning, made your way through a dark house, getting ready to turn on the kitchen light, and stepped in something that wasn't pleasant? You know, we used to have to do that often because Fred had digestive problems after almost every meal. It was awful. You know, I don't remember the last time Fred had any issue. Years it's been. Because we started sprinkling rough greens on his food. It has digestive enzymes and probiotics in it and vitamins and minerals. And there's a reason it's number one. The number one dog supplement in the United States of America. Let your dog try it. They give out a free jumpstart trial bag with the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. Your dog will love it, and you won't have dirty feet. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, and I'm going to play something before I get to emails, and I'm going to do the best I can not to get upset. In fact, I'm going to try to laugh it off, all right? But the local news in Los Angeles was out there interviewing people. You see, the Trump administration, they're starting to actually put requirements on people who are on welfare. Requirements. Requirements like you have to seek out work. Something. Here was the interview.
New changes, those new requirements mean you've got to look for work, you've got to go out and volunteer certain hours, number of hours each month to keep the benefits going. Otherwise, those benefits could be cut sharp.
Let me pause for a moment. You know what the requirement is? you have to look for work 80 hours a month. A month. Most people with full-time employment work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I know there are many people listening right now who have to work more than that or choose to work more than that, but that's a week. 80 hours a month. That's all they ask. Get off your fat butt and go look for work 80 hours a month. And I just want to, as I play this, and I'm going to play it, and I'm totally calm. I want you to remember that you went to work today, and the government stole 30, 35, 40% of your money. I don't know how much. It's going to depend on which state you're in. But the government stole a large percentage of your wages today. And you know one of the things they did with those wages, with the money they stole from you? They handed it out to people on welfare. Now, knowing that, I'm going to play this.
New changes, those new requirements mean you've got to look for work. You've got to go out and volunteer certain hours, number of hours each month to keep the benefits going. Otherwise, those benefits could be cut sharply, maybe only 3 months worth of benefits over a 3-year period. Big time reaction. Listen to some of this.
I don't think it's fair that he do that. But
and you were saying you think it's going to hurt a lot of people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely it's going to hurt a lot of people. Because you never know. You know what? Especially now that we end the holidays and everybody wants to have a good dinner and everything. And if you don't give it to them, it's going to be really hard.
Well, it's very...
Oh, do you, everybody wants to have a good dinner.
Well, go get a job like everybody else in the country has to go get a job. My 17-year-old has a job. In fact, as we speak right now, he's driving all over town making deliveries for, I won't get into it. My 17-year-old is out there working. I didn't even ask him to, by the way. I didn't even tell him to. He's wanted a job since he was 14 years old. He wants to go work. He wants to earn a living. He's 17 years old. Instead, this useless tub of goo has the gall to stare at the newsman to say right into the camera, well, he shouldn't be doing this too much because it's around the holidays. Go get a job, you freeloading loser. I am so sick of good, hardworking people having to carry the useless, lazy scum in this society. It's insane that we enable this type of behavior. Absolutely bonkers.
Whew. Ended up getting upset. But now I'm good. I am good, Chris. Got it off my chest. Never felt better.
Oh, tall one. I think you've misjudged the likes of Omar, Tlaib, AOC, etc. They're not commies at all. It's just the way they make money. Well, first, let's remember something, because we are going to get into this Minnesota story here in a few, because it's getting deeper and darker, and I'm not so sure there's not going to be a politician go down for this whole thing, but we'll get into that. But remember this about communism. Always remember this. The true believers in it are almost always the street animals, okay? The street animals. The idiots who are gluing themselves to the road, the black race communists that are all over the country now, the LGBTQ demon mob types. These people are the true communist believers. But communism has always been and will always be a way for elites to hoover up more money and power for themselves. In general, the elites never believe in this crap. What they know is they have enough stupid, lazy people in this society who are dumb enough to buy into the communist lies, buy into the grievance politics of communism, and enough street animals will hand these people power and money with the promise of vengeance and handouts. The communists who are actually in power, these aren't people who give a crap about Karl Marx or the worker or any of that other stuff. That's just how they sell the whole thing. Whether AOC is an actual... AOC is a freaking actress. She's an actress who actually auditioned like actresses do because the Justice Democrats wanted to bounce a sitting Democrat congressman and replace him with a communist. And so she goes in, she's pretty, she sits down for the interview, they like her look, and they say, let's run her. She doesn't believe in any of this crap. She doesn't know any of this crap at all. They just simply propped her up and ran her. Ilhan Omar, now her father was a colonel in a communist army that committed genocide. We'll set that aside. So she may be some sort of true believer. But once again, Ilhan Omar is just a scumbag who understands a great way to achieve money and power is by selling communism to the stupid masses. The elites are hardly ever true believers. Ever. They understand that there are angry, bitter people in every single society. There are malcontents in every single society. And if you want to achieve power and you have no morality whatsoever, the easiest thing to do is to stand in front of the malcontents and promise them you will hurt the people they hate and promise them they will get generous gifts funded by the taxpayer, always handed out to them, and that's a great way to achieve power. Elite communists have always been this way. Even the original Soviets, they weren't true believers, not most of them. Guys like Trotsky probably were, but even Stalin wasn't some true believer in communism. He understood that it was a great way to achieve power. All you have to do is sell that, kill enough people. If you have nothing moral against it, you can do whatever you want. Don't ever think that these people are true believers, the ones who actually have power. The true believers are your stupid liberal Aunt Peggy, who believes what she sees on the news, and she believes that these people are oppressed and that climate change is real and all this other crap. She's the moron who gives these people power and money. She doesn't. Yeah, she's mentally ill, Chris. Yeah, of course. She's mentally ill. She's on anti-anxiety medication. Her motherly nature was manipulated almost always in school. And now she's the mother of the communist revolution, a real true believer. But the people who hold power are not. They just know she's a useful idiot. She always has been. Unless you can convert her, she always will be. Really terrible thing. Now, speaking of looting, let's dig in before I do any more of these emails to this Minnesota story, which is getting worse and worse and worse. Before I do that, have you done your Christmas shopping yet? You know it's time to do Christmas shopping or Hanukkah shopping, Chris. I know you people have like 2 weeks of it or something like that. You know that Cozy Earth is here for you, right? I know you've already been to CozyEarth.com. I know you've been drooling over all the heavenly stuff they have there, from the sheets to the robes to the everywhere pants to the face creams to the, what do they call that blanket Ob loves? The bubble cuddle blanket. Good grief, she never takes the freaking thing off. You know that up to 40% off right now with the promo code Jesse. And you know that if you order by December 12th, they guarantee delivery by Christmas. All your Christmas shopping's about to be done. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse, delivery by Christmas. You want to make somebody's day? There you go. I just made someone's day for you. Made it easy. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Remember that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're already starting to pile up. It's fantastic. Now, every day we turn on the news, and we have to hear Democrat politicians saying things like this.
The majority of Americans across the country regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
Constantly, Americans are beaten over the face with this ridiculous lie that immigrants built the country. You poor, stupid Americans. You're lazy, worthless slobs. It's immigrants who built the United States of America. We're constantly told this. Let's go to Minnesota and check in on that, shall we? Headline, Minnesota's newest social welfare program is the next big fraud waiting to happen. You see, courtesy of George Bush and Barack Obama, we reached out to one of the worst countries on planet Earth, Somalia. It's war-torn, famine. They practice female genital mutilation at a rate of over 90%. They inbreed to such an extent that now the average IQ in Somalia is considered mental retardation. I'm not kidding. It's below the line. The average IQ in Somalia is mentally retarded. That's, wow, that's something. And our genius politicians, Republican and Democrat, you know what they said to themselves? We need 80,000 of those people here. Let's bring them all over, preferably on a short bus. Let's bring them over to the United States of America. And they did. And then, because we have the most suicidal immigration policy in the history of the world, we allowed all 80,000 of these people to set up shop in the exact same area. They all went to Minnesota, taking a formerly purple state, almost a little reddish, and turning it solidly blue. And maybe you're naive enough to think that having been plucked from a war-torn dump, that they would be grateful to be here. Oh, no, you see, that's never how it works. It's never how it works. How grateful are they to be here? I don't know. Let's check in.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do we get a Trump presidency again?
And so the idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view, because this country is one for the many.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
She doesn't sound very grateful. Wow. But surely, I mean, okay, she's not grateful. Surely she's here. And now that she's here, an American citizen, she's going to prioritize America, right?
Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as a fabric of this nation. So not only are we not going anywhere, we are not going to allow anybody to make us feel less Minnesotan or less American.
That's Spanish. Yes. So, what have they been doing since they got here? Oh, this is an interesting headline from Chadwick Moore. Want to make sure he gets credit for it. Ilhan Omar introduced the bill that allowed the $250 million welfare fraud scheme to happen in her district
held parties at the core fraud sites, and had a top staffer convicted of stealing $1.1 million from the program, but claims she knew nothing. Democrats promptly let these people set up shop inside their state, started doing what Democrats do and create generous welfare programs, buying votes with the new, admittedly hostile immigrant community there. And now this large community in Minnesota pillages the taxpayer. This is the governor of Minnesota being asked about it. Just a doozy here.
Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. There's a reason Minnesota ranks as the top. Lowest childhood poverty, best place for children to live. People are taking advantage of that, they're going to prison. That is totally disconnected with demonizing an entire group of people who came here fleeing civil war and created a vibrant community that makes Minnesota and this country better. But that's Donald Trump. Deflect, demonize, come up with no solutions. He's not going to help fix anything on fraud. My God, there's a big difference between fraud and corruption is something he knows about.
Why do you think Democrat states won't hand over the SNAP information to the federal government? Because Democrats open up the public treasury to all their various constituents and let them pillage it without end. And the Somali community in Minnesota has done exactly that. They do that because that's how you do government in Somalia. You steal everything you possibly can, and they brought that over here. It's just a miracle they were smart enough to pull it off. Horrible. Freaking horrible what we've allowed happen to this country, the way we've allowed foreigners to come in here and pillage this place. It drives me up the freaking wall. And we're going to need a high-T GOP to turn it around, and that's why I have campaigned repeatedly that every Republican in the United States of America, certainly politicians, should be on a male vitality stack from Chalk or a female vitality stack from Chalk, because it's time to get some guts. It's time to get your T levels up. 20% increase in 90 days. You don't need a needle in your arm. You're drinking estrogen. Your T levels are in free fall, but a male vitality stack is going to turn it around and have you going gangbusters all the time. You want the guts to deport dirty, fraudulent foreigners? Go to CHOQ.com, use the promo code Jesse, get a subscription, because you're probably 60 to 90 days away from feeling like a new person at work, at home, at all times. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Do some emails. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.